Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
There's one last doctrine listed in Hebrews chapter 6 that we have yet to cover on this program. Again, these are listed as basic and foundational doctrines of God's church, and we really need to understand these in order to just understand those basics, the foundational subjects of the Bible. In Hebrews 6, in verse 1, we'll go back there to begin today. It reads, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation." And those foundational doctrines are repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead. Now, we've covered all of those before. But then the last one mentioned at the end of verse 2 is eternal judgment. Now, what is this last foundational doctrine, the last one mentioned here? What is this foundational doctrine of eternal judgment all about? This doctrine of eternal judgment does seem to really get people's attention, and oftentimes it scares people. Most people think of it as something very negative. Is it something negative? Is it something that should scare us? The usual teachings of this world are far different from what is clearly revealed in the Bible about eternal judgment. Most people don't even understand that all people are not being called to salvation today. Most also don't understand the connection between the time of one's calling and the time period of his or her judgment. What is the time period in which people are judged? After all, when does that judging take place that this verse is talking about? Does it happen all at once? You know, some people think of the eternal judgment, and it makes them think of, you know, this harsh God maybe sitting behind a judge's bench, and he's ready to just lay out all of the sins that you've ever committed, and just at that point make a judgment on whether you go up to heaven or go down to hell, as what most people believe. But look, God is fair, and there is an appropriate amount of time given before that final verdict is rendered, and there's a time period where judging takes place. When is that time period that one is being judged? You need to know. The definition of eternal, that certainly is a large word. It's a huge word, and it should get our attention because it is everlasting. The definition of that word means having infinite duration. It is everlasting. It goes on perpetually. So once this judgment is made, once the final decision is made after an appropriate amount of time has passed, then that is everlasting. It is infinite in its duration. So it should get our attention, eternal judgment. And what about the word judgment? Well, one definition for judgment says this: a formal utterance of an authoritative opinion. Again, now that should get our attention. Another definition or another meaning of the word is, quote, a divine sentence or decision. So it should get our attention, but it doesn't have to be negative. Isn't it interesting that when people hear the word judgment, they tend to automatically think of something as being negative, something that maybe even is a little depressing at times? But why does the word judgment bring on such an emotional reaction, and a negative one in particular? That's really, again, like I said, it should get our attention, but it doesn't have to be negative. And that's really not what God intended to convey when he inspired the Apostle Paul to write about this foundational doctrine of his church. Now, again, I think so many people, even if they haven't thought about it specifically in these terms, they almost have this image of God as being harsh and severe. And when we talk about judgment, they think of God as almost being like a monster that just enjoys looking for our faults and our sins, and he's eager to punish us for shortcomings. God is a God of judgment, and we do have to have the proper respect and the proper fear of him, but God is not looking to just pinpoint all of our faults and destroy us. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. And if you'll turn to 2 Peter 3, notice this verse here in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward," or toward us, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, God wants us all to succeed. And God has sent his own Son to pay the death penalty for us. God works for us. Jesus Christ came and sacrificed himself for us, and he is now in the third heaven with his Father, working for us, as the book of Hebrews talks about. You see, God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8 says that. 1 John 4 and verse 16 says it. Other places in the Bible. The Bible is full of that understanding, that teaching, and that instruction about God. God is love. And as this verse here in 2 Peter 3 points out, he doesn't want to see anyone perish. Now, some will perish because of their own refusal to obey God and to live by God's way of love. But that's not God's doing, and that's not what God is looking for in any of us. God is eager to forgive and eager to save. So much so, as I mentioned, that he gave his only Son to die for us. And what a sacrifice that was and continues to be. Now, this judgment talked about here in this verse in Hebrews 6, it is talking about a time period that God gives us where he is judging us. And at the end of that, a verdict is rendered, a decision is made. And your Father in heaven, your Creator, the being that gives you life and hears your prayers and loves you more than any human father ever loved a child, it's when there is a decision that he makes for your benefit and for my benefit. You see, this judgment does not have to be negative. This judgment is when God actually informs you of his decision. After watching you and judging you over a period of time, then there is a decision made as to what you'll be doing and how you'll be spending eternity. That's why it is eternal judgment. It's a decision that's going to last for eternity. And it has a lot to do with what you're going to be doing and how you're going to be working, what you'll be doing for God to further his plan and to further his way of life. Now again, for some, it's true that this decision may not be a positive one. For sure, for some, it won't be a positive one. As we covered in even just the last episode of this program, some people are going to reject God's way of life, and they will be resurrected in a third resurrection, and at that time they will experience the second death, an eternal death, not just the ending of this physical, chemical existence, or the first death that we all have to face when we die as human beings. But there are some that are going to, sadly, have to experience the second death. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15 discuss this fact, and we went through that in the last program. But look, even in this, it's not... that's not going to be some kind of an eternal punishing where people just flounce in some everlasting lava pit. It will be eternal punishment. There will be a judgment made, and it will last forever. Jesus Christ even talked about that in Matthew 25 and verse 46. He said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." See, they will be put to death, and that will be everlasting. That is the punishment. It's not everlasting punishing. It's everlasting punishment. And conversely, he goes on and says, "But the righteous will go into life eternal." So that's what it's about. It's about living forever, having life eternal, or it's about dying forever, and that is the everlasting punishment. So a judgment will be made that is eternal. That is eternal judgment. It's something that will go on forever. And for some, that will not be a positive judgment. But for the vast majority, this decision, this eternal judgment, will be for sure the greatest moment in their entire lives. And this is when that decision, this judgment, is going to propel people forward into things greater than anything they've ever done before. You see, God personally knows each one of us. He knows us. He loves us personally. And He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our likes. He knows our dislikes. And He's going to choose the best possible situation for each one of us. Christ said in John 14 that there are many positions in His Father's house to be filled. In my Father's house are many mansions, He said, or many offices, you see, many jobs. It's talking about offices and jobs that must be filled. And we are going to be given specific areas of responsibility. We'll not be like statues sitting in a garden somewhere doing nothing. We're going to be filling real jobs, and we're going to be given real responsibilities. And again, our Father knows us very well. He knows what type of work situations we'll be best at, what type of jobs we would be able to best handle. It's all very practical. God is very practical and very logical. And Christ said in Matthew 16 and verse 27, it's referring to this spectacular time when Jesus Christ returns and takes over the rulership of this earth. And there in Matthew 16, verse 27, it says, "And then He," that's Christ, "shall reward every man according to his works." Every man rewarded according to his works. Now, again, this is going to be the time when God informs you of His decision concerning what you'll be doing and where you'll be doing it. And God will give us the decision of how we'll be spending eternity in His family. Now, that's a good overview. We're going to get into some more specific details about this doctrine of eternal judgment. But that's a good overview. And after the break, we'll get into exactly what God is talking about in detail when He talks about eternal judgment.
We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, streaming live online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com. The subject of today's episode is the doctrine of eternal judgment. That's something that a lot of people have wondered about over the years. What does the Bible say about eternal judgment? For more information, listen to the second half of this program, but also there's some literature that you can request free of charge. It'll open up this topic and many others to your understanding from your very own Bible. It's the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's absolutely free of charge. You can sign up for it at thetrumpet.com. You'll receive a lesson that you can go through, study. You can take an exam, and once you pass that exam, go ahead and send it in. It'll be graded, and you can receive another lesson. It's a wonderful course that you can go through. You can do it at your own speed, and it will open up your Bible to you and take you step by step through your Bible, and you'll understand so much about your Bible, including today's topic, the doctrine of eternal judgment. Make sure you sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Absolutely free of charge. You can find it at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're looking into one of the foundational doctrines of the Bible, and that doctrine is eternal judgment. Now, how and when does God make this judgment? Does He make it right at the spur of a moment, or is there a process and a time period set aside for judging that takes place leading up to the time of a final decision or a final rendering of a verdict being announced, if you will? Now, we need to understand the details of this. It is, again, one of the basic and foundational doctrines of the Bible. And to begin understanding it, really, you have to understand one of the most amazing truths revealed in the Bible is that God is not trying to save all of the world today. Now, that may come as a shock to some people, and yet it is true. Now, also, there's another amazing truth of the Bible, and one that is one of the most encouraging and positive truths of the Bible, and that is the fact that all of mankind is not being judged today. God is not condemning people today. Most of mankind, a matter of fact, that's the situation that most of mankind is in. God's not necessarily trying to save them, but he's also not condemning them and judging them. Now, if God is not trying to save the world now, how can all of humanity have a chance for salvation? When will that time period be? And how is it all going to work out? Well, the answer to that question is found in this foundational Bible doctrine of eternal judgment. Let's notice Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and here in verse 10, you can see it's talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And in verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, as inspiring as this verse is, it does create a real dilemma for people. How can this be the case? Is God not fair? Is God not just? I mean, if there is no other name whereby we can be saved, well, what about the billions of people who have lived from the time of Adam up until now who never have heard about the name of Jesus Christ? And again, that's the only name under heaven by which people can be saved. That's very clear from this and other verses. Now, are those people who have lived and died and never, ever even had an opportunity to know about Jesus Christ and to know about the truth of God, are they doomed to die and to have no hope for eternal life? Are they doomed to live in some sort of a fiery, hot pit of lava forever and ever? Are they forever lost? You know, what about a little child born in some backward village in China, maybe during the time of Confucius, and died at 2 months old? Where is he today? Where is that child today? What is their future? What is the future of others like that child? And you know, today, the most populous nations on earth are over in Asia, and so you have a lot of missionaries going into those areas trying to get them to hear the name of Jesus Christ and to give their heart to Jesus and that sort of thing. But even with that, many people even today live and die and never even hear about Jesus Christ. What is their future? What kind of an eternal judgment is made or is going to be made or is being made on those people? I mean, you could think of plenty of other examples where people have been idolaters and pagans and heathens and other sinners throughout history. All the people who died in the flood. Look, where are those people? Are they lost forever? Is there still a judgment reserved for them? How could there be a just and fair judgment even made on certain people or for certain people when they've never even had a chance to know God or to know the name of Jesus Christ? Now proves to be a very troubling question for most religionists in this world. They don't have an answer to that question. And you need to realize that God does have a plan for every human being that has ever lived. That means everyone who has ever lived will have an opportunity to receive a just eternal judgment. God is fair, and there is a judgment period for a person. And you have to understand that is from the time that someone is called until their appointment with death, or they're changed into a spirit-composed member of God's family. And it's during this time period that a person's life is continually being judged, and you're being judged against the biblical standards that God has laid out in His Word. This is why it's so important that we really learn this Bible and learn the Word of God so that we can live by every Word of God. Now, for different groups of people, This judgment will occur at different times. Some are being judged today. Some are, but not everyone. Only the first fruits are being judged today. And then there will be another time of judgment during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, 1,000 years on this earth where Jesus Christ rules over this earth. And then after the millennium, there will be another judgment period. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And you can read about that over in Revelation 20. Now, the entire world is deceived. Satan has deceived the entire world. Revelation 12 and verse 9 says that. Even the nation of Israel, Moses told him in Deuteronomy 29 that God has not given you a heart to perceive, and he hasn't given you eyes to see and ears to hear. So look, it's obvious that God is not out there just trying to save everyone now. Romans 11, Paul talked about that most of humanity is in unbelief today. But it's that way so that God can have mercy on all. You see, God has a plan, and there's a reason why God is doing what he is doing. Why has God chosen not to save all of mankind today? Well, mankind rejected God in the Garden of Eden, and God is simply allowing mankind to go his own way, and it must be that way for people to learn some lessons. He must first allow human beings to learn that they need God. People will learn that going against God's law, going against God's way, only leads to war and misery and unhappiness and destruction, everything that we see in the world today. And at the appropriate time, in the appropriate way, God will call all of mankind and give them an opportunity. Now, that's not necessarily happening today. John chapter 6 and verse 44 says that. You can look even over in Mark chapter 4 and verse 12, it says this, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now that's what Jesus Christ said, and that applies to the vast majority of mankind today. Now this begins to answer some of those very troubling and perplexing questions that most religionists cannot answer today. A couple of key scriptures that begins to shed light on this. If you'll look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it reads this way, verse 2. For he says, I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now this scripture confuses a lot of people because they read it and they say, well, that's it. This is the day of salvation. However, the Apostle Paul here is quoting Isaiah 49 and verse 8. And if you turn over to Isaiah 49 and verse 8, you'll see that it does not read that this is the day of salvation. It says there in Isaiah 49 and verse 8, this is a day of salvation. This is a day of salvation, but it's not the day of salvation. It's not the only day of salvation. You can look that up for yourself. It's Isaiah 49 and verse 8. And the translators who translated from the Greek of what the Apostle Paul wrote here in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, and they translated it into English, and they put the word the, and it clearly should read a. It is a day of salvation. It is not the day of salvation. So if this is a day of salvation, well, who is this a day of salvation for? You can find the answer in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 reads this way, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That's talking about the converted, truly converted Christians who have God's Holy Spirit, and judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So clearly, there is a period of judgment going on right now. It's for those of the house of God. And then there's going to be another time period of judging that takes place. And that's when Jesus Christ returns. During the millennium, there will be 1,000 years immediately following the return of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God will be set up, ruling over this earth. And during that time, all of mankind will know the truth of God. We don't have time to look at all the verses, but you can look at Isaiah 11 and verse 9, Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. And that's going to be a wonderful time when all of the earth will be under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, and they all will know the truth, but they will be being judged because of that. I mean, after all, God is fair and God is just, and this doctrine of eternal judgment really does prove that. God's not going to condemn someone when they've never even had an opportunity to know him. Now, at the time, during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, all of the earth will know God. They will know God's truth, and God's truth will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And everyone alive at that time will have an opportunity for salvation. Now that leaves the question, what about those who lived and died between the time of Adam and the second coming of Jesus Christ? And people who have never known God, people who have never had an opportunity, well, their chance will come. That's spoken of in Revelation 20 and verse 11. It describes the great white throne judgment period there, and we talked about that some in the last program. Now, this is a time period when people will be resurrected to physical life, as Ezekiel 37 points out. All of those Israelites that did not really have eyes to see and ears to hear, all of those people, and even all of the other nations and cities around the world, you can look at Matthew 11 and Matthew 10, Jesus Christ talked about that would be the time period of judgment for people from Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah even. Now, Jesus Christ revealed that. Those people are going to be resurrected, and they will live through that great white throne judgment period, and they will be judged at that time. They'll have 100 years, as Isaiah 65 shows, to prove that they want to live God's way of life. And then they'll be judged during that time, eventually leading to a sentencing or a declaration of what their future is going to be. And again, as I said, for some, it's true that that's not going to be a positive thing. But for the vast majority, it's going to be not only positive, it's going to be extremely positive. The most positive thing that has ever happened in their lives. And they're going to be given jobs. And they're going to be given opportunities that truly are out of this world. Now, of all the doctrines of the Bible, I don't think that you can find one that really shows God's boundless fairness and how much he is striving to be fair for every human being ever born. I don't think you can find a doctrine that shows God's fairness any more than this truth about eternal judgment. So you see, it doesn't have to be something negative. All people everywhere will receive an equal chance at salvation, and at a time in which their own chances of success will be at the highest point that they possibly could be. Truly, we serve a great and awesome, a just, a fair, and a loving God that is not a respecter of persons. He's fair to all humanity. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.